For the life of me, I don't know why it is so hard for us to just say, I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I know the one who does know, and I'm going to go to him, and he's going to show me what to do. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, you are never without answers.
As we walk through each new day, we all have questions. They're just part of life. But did you know there are answers for you? God says when we look, we'll find him. He's not trying to hide anything. So together, we are discovering life's everyday answers.
You know, there are times in our relationship with Jesus where we all feel absolutely helpless to do anything about our circumstances. Those are those times that we all face that we just feel completely out of control. We have battles to fight and we don't know how to win. Well, I'm so excited about today's show because two of my very favorite women are going to help us through that, Joyce and Darlene Check. I recently sat down with Darlene and discussed the most difficult battle of her life. There are very few Christians around the world who haven't heard the music and heart of worship leader Darlene Check. It's estimated that Shout to the Lord is one of the most well-known modern worship songs today. She wrote it more than 20 years ago, and since then she's traveled the world bearing her soul through her music as part of Hillsong and now in her own ministry. Today, she continues to worship and glorify God, even while in the midst of a very personal battle.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I encourage everyone here tonight to open up.
Darlene, there was a time that you got a very shocking report that you were going to be dealing with cancer, and that's the word that strikes fear in the heart of so many people.
Yeah.
Our first inclination needs to be to take it right to God. He's bigger than cancer.
Yeah.
But no matter who you are, it's still a frightening word.
Mm-hmm.
How did you deal with that?
When I was diagnosed, I was 48, and my father had died of cancer at 50.
Mm.
And I had that, just that nagging in the back of my head all of the time.
Yeah.
So one minute I was great, the next minute I was sobbing. It was just back and forward and back and forward.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing I've ever, you know, even in losing my dad, losing Mark's dad, we both lost our fathers to cancer, but losing my dad, you know, he had a real grip on God when he went to heaven, and it's always bittersweet, you know. It's like, I just knew it was a see you soon or see you later. It's not
right.
The end, it's a comma, you know?
Yeah.
But when you're having to fight it yourself, there's days that I still can't put words to it, and I still get quite teary. It's a frightening thing.
God has a battle plan. Anytime we get in a battle, we need to know how to fight the way that God wants us to fight. I said this morning that we have weapons, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal weapons. They're not weapons you can see or feel or go to the store and buy. So if they're not carnal weapons, then they must be spiritual weapons. In preaching the Word of God to you tonight, I am doing warfare with the enemy by speaking the Word of God. I'm helping you do warfare in your life, and I'm doing warfare in my own life just because I'm speaking words that are full of life and power. The Word of God is not just any word. It is a word that changes lives. The Word goes, it renews our mind, it drops down in our heart, and it makes changes for us. So we do have spiritual weapons. Peace is a weapon. Walking in peace when the enemy's throwing his best at you is a weapon. Righteousness is a weapon. Knowing who you are in Christ is a piece of armor, but it's also a way for you to fight the enemy. Wearing the helmet of salvation, thinking the way a child of God should think. And the Bible talks about wielding the two-edged sword, which happens to be this. You notice it doesn't say just wear it on your side. It says get it out of your sheath and use it. Wield that two-edged sword. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Isn't that good news? You don't need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, for a lot of years, I thought our position was standing still. I thought, take your position, stand still, was what he was trying to say. But if you read this whole 2 Chronicles 20 in context, that's really not the position that he's talking about. And so we're going to start over here in verse 1, and we're going to learn some good lessons tonight out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 1, after this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them the Midianites came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. Have you ever noticed that there's a lot of ites in the Bible? And you know what? I've decided that we've all got our own little brand of ites. It may be the bad bossites, the grouchy neighborites, the backacheites, the not having enough money to pay our bill ites, but we've all got ites that come after us, things that want to upset us. And it was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared. Now, I want you to pay close attention to that, because our first natural response to any kind of bad news or trouble is going to be a feeling of fear. Now, what we do at that point is very important.
Mm-hmm. That fear is real, and it's crippling sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know you had to be afraid for your family, your children. What was going through your head?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a scary place. I just had to learn to keep replacing thoughts. You know, I could do that. I've become disciplined over years to, you know, take every thought captive.
Right.
But at this level, I had to learn it in a whole new way. When I couldn't read the word, I was listening to the word, or I was in worship, and yeah, it's quite magnificent. I don't know how people do this without Jesus.
Oh, you
know,
I can't even imagine.
I've never had anxiety. I am just pretty even, happy, thankful person. And it was just about maybe 3 days after surgery, and I thought I was getting better, and suddenly this thing it would start in my feet. I could physically feel it and travel up my body. And by the time it hit my heart, I thought I was going to die. And it happened over and over again. And then the doctor finally said to me, it's chronic anxiety. And it was all those fears. And I just had to take them to the Lord. You know, every now and again, that feeling will come back, and I know how to, just get on my knees. I know how to worship Jesus. Sometimes I need the prayers of the saints to come around me and stand with me.
We're
not meant to do life on our own.
One word from God can give you the courage to confront anything. 25 years ago, I had breast cancer. And it was a very fast-growing type of cancer. The tumor was very small. But back then, they did more radical surgeries, and so I had to have a very radical surgery right away because they said I would be playing Russian roulette with my life if I didn't get it out of me. It was an estrogen-dependent tumor. And so naturally, cancer is a frightening word. And I remember being so frightened. This fear would just overwhelm me, and then I would confess the word, and I'd feel stronger again, and I would trust God, and then here would come that fear again. About 3:00 one morning, I heard so clearly in my spirit, I will take care of you. You can trust me. I'll take care of you. Now, you know what? 500 other people had said that to me. I had said it to me. We need to talk to ourselves in times of trouble. It's good to get encouragement from other people. But I'm just saying that when God said that to me, it meant, it was like, then my faith rose up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith rises when you hear God. And I'm glad you're here to hear me tonight, but frankly, I hope you hear God through me, or I hope something that I say will cause you to go home and seek God in that area for yourself, because one word from God is worth 10,000 words from people. But we're not going to hear from God if we won't set apart time to seek God. If you really don't know how to seek God, He will meet you where you're at. You don't have to go find Him where He's at. Come on, I need to say that again. I said, if you really don't know how to hear from God, the good news about God is He'll come and meet you where you're at. All you got to do is sit down somewhere and say, God, I need you. I'm in trouble. I don't want to just react in fear. I don't want to just react emotionally. I don't know what to do. Speak to me and lead me and guide me. And then if you don't hear something right away, don't get all frustrated and upset. When your time is over, then just say, okay, God, I haven't heard a thing yet, but I believe that you're going to lead me and guide me as I start taking steps. I always say you can't drive a parked car. Some of you got to get your life out of park and start going somewhere for God to lead you anywhere. Right?
That's what we did. I got people to pray, got my family to pray. We took communion. You know, communion became, and still to this day, communion for me is, I can't even describe how precious communion is to me now. It always was, but now I'm just like, I hang on to it like it's the greatest jewel that I've ever held, and I'm so grateful. And when I partake of communion, I'm just, oh, Jesus, thank you for your blood running through my veins. And yeah,
because there is, it is very clear in God's word that we are healed by His stripes and through the blood of Christ. But you're the second time I've heard this week
really
about healing, physical healing through the communion process, and just what God does for us. It's really encouraging to hear that. It's a great reminder of how powerful that gift is.
Yeah, I mean, we were driving, Mark was driving me to a doctor's appointment, and we were just talking, and all of a sudden, it hit me in the deepest place in my heart of what Jesus did for us and for me personally. And I yelled out in the car, he's done it. It's finished. And Mark's like, what are we talking about? I'm just had this massive revelation. And there's been lots of moments like that along the way where it's, you know, I've known this in my heart, but it's gone a very deep place in my heart.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe a relationship. When I say it's deeper, I mean it's deeper. I feel even more closely connected. I feel that when I talk to Him, He's been waiting. He's not having to, Jesus, you know, where are you? I'm like, He's like, I'm here.
He's right there.
I'm here, like a breath away. And I probably feel I'm quicker to listen. And what a pity it took this for me to be, you know, but I am, and I pray I stay there. You know, I don't want to, I don't want to go back to life before. Isn't that funny? I just don't. There's some things I've learned and that I just really digging into God for my new normal, what that is.
Hearing God's voice is different for you now?
It's just fast. it's like, wow. Yeah, I just feel Him speaking all the time.
Yeah.
And I guess some of the distractions are not there anymore.
Figure out what's important and what's not.
Yeah. And I just have a growing revelation of his love for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than my love for him.
That's interesting, because as a worship leader, you're always pouring out mm-hmm. that love to him. You had to receive.
Yeah, I'm still receiving.
Wow.
I'm still learning. There's lots of places in my heart yet that he wants to fill.
It's all about worship. It's all about putting God first. Even if you notice the Lord's Prayer, I've been thinking about that today. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. We worship him before there's any mention of any kind of petition. Give us this day our daily bread. No, we don't just go in and say, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father who is in heaven, the greatest of all. Holy are you, God. You're the most awesome. You're the best. You're the greatest. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from all of our enemies. Deliver us from evil. I'm giving you a battle plan tonight. Verse 12, O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon these people? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You're never going to get help from God until you admit that you can't do it yourself. One of the reasons why we wear ourselves out is because we just keep trying to do it and not need help. According to Bible theology, only the humble get the help. And sometimes it's hard for people to say, I can't do this. This is too much for me, God, but it's not too much for you. I don't know what to do. For the life of me, I don't know why it is so hard for us to just say, I don't know. I don't have a clue. But I know the one who does know, and I'm going to go to him, and he's going to show me what to do. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, you are never without answers. You may not know right this moment, but when God is ready and the time is right, God will lead you and guide you, and he will show you what to do. And half of the time, he's leading us, and we don't even know he's leading us. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. And I wrote here in the little space, they waited. And see, this is where we lose it a lot of times. We go and we present our petition to God, and then nothing happens right away. And so we go try to get a backup plan to do things ourselves. Just in case God doesn't come through, we're going to have another plan. They waited. They're like, we can't do this, God. So, you know, sometimes God will just wait a little bit to see if you're going to wait or if you're going to go ahead and get into works of the flesh. Be not afraid or dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You take it to God, you seek him, you separate some time, you worship first, you present your need, you tell him that you can't solve your own problem, then you wait. Then here comes the word from God. You can just forget about it, honey, because I got it taken care of. I've already got your breakthrough planned, and it'll come through just at the exact right time.
Tell me what that phrase means to you, letting God fight your battle.
It's ultimate trust. I think, you know, when I talk about, you know, everything, I always come back to worship. I can't help myself. It's who I am, but... You know, I've often said, you know, prayer, with this journey of prayer, and now I've been on this journey of trust, you know, and my trust life, not just, you know, my worship life, but my trust life has really grown and has still got a long way to grow. But that's what I've been learning, you know, that in the Message Bible, it talks about falling into the arms of a great God, and I have that picture in my mind. And instead of letting fear rob me, and it can make you catatonic almost, so rather than let fall into the arms of fear, trust in God teaches you to fall into the arms of an everlasting God who will not, because he loves us, he is not gonna fail us. So you've got to trust him with the outcome, whatever the outcome. I believe in that I'm healed, and I believe that I'm going to be around for a long time. But I had to learn that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like, just God, whatever, we trust you. So it's been a journey.
No matter how grounded we are spiritually, we mm-hmm. like to take care of things. We mm-hmm. like to feel like mm-hmm. we're in control when we're completely not.
Yeah.
But with something like this, you have to completely just relinquish everything because mm-hmm. there's nothing we can do. How did you deal with that?
Oh, I'm still dealing with it. Still walking through it. I've been busy for 30 years mm-hmm. and I've got a lot of energy. I love being busy. Busy is not my goal, but I'm just an action Jackson,
yes.
you know?
Yes.
I'm like, let's go. That's a good idea. Let's do it. You know, by the time we've talked about it, we could have actually done it. So let's do it. It's who I am. And to be at home 7 months, being forced to be still and being forced to trust God at a deep level was a real discipline, a real, like, letting go and just diving into the Word. And really, it's just the Word. I've just stood on the Word, and that's the only way I've been able to do this. Yeah. There were times I was reading the Word, I'm like, oh, that's so far from what I'm experiencing. And then I just go, well, God, I've just got to trust you to do this work in my heart, you know? So God doesn't expect us to be performing robotic people when we're going through trials. He just asks us to bring truth to the table. He's got big shoulders. He's not going to be worried about what comes out. He just asks you to trust him. You know, I'm on heavy medication. I'm still walking through a journey, but I know God's got it. So it's still a journey of trust every day that he is my God and he's so good.
We want you to learn to worship God. And tonight we entered into worship. We worship God. What do you think it did to the atmosphere over this city? How much darkness do you think was pierced here tonight? When all these different people from all these different denominations come together, everybody with their hands lifted up, some with tears streaming down their face, people with smiles on their face. I mean, you weren't just singing a song, you were worshiping God. And let me tell you something. You did yourself a favor being here tonight, because the first 30 minutes you were here, you did nothing but pure spiritual warfare. And you enjoyed yourself while you were doing it. This is called How to Fight the Devil and Win. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem all fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. Okay, now verse 21, we're getting close to something major. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments. And they went out before the army, saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever." So just try to imagine this is what's going on. Here the enemy's coming against them, and this is what God has told them to do. This is God's great battle plan. Okay, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. The enemies that you've seen today, you'll never see again. Take your position. Come on. Make your request to God, and then don't live in fear after that. Just thank him that he's working. God, I thank you ahead of time. We pray with thanksgiving, the Bible says in Philippians 4. With thanksgiving. So just imagine, all these people are walking around. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now, what would happen if you'd try this one day in your house instead of hanging on the phone all day complaining to all your friends? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Somebody calls up, so what are you doing about your problem? I'm not doing anything. I'm waiting for God to do something. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do, but I do know God, and I believe he's working. We talk ourselves right into a pit sometimes. Are you ready? I don't know if you're ready. Here it comes. And when they began to sing, verse 22, and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. Their praise and worship got the devil so confused that the enemies turned on each other and they killed themselves. Come on, give God praise. Let God fight your battles. Take your position, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord.
As always, we are asking you to join in the conversation with us on Facebook, on Twitter. Here is one from Minnesota. This is Amy sharing her personal story. She says, I'm a chronic pain and fatigue patient with a history of depression. I've been on countless medications, in and out of the hospital for various reasons and surgeries. I was miserable. Even as a Christian, I was convinced that I was no good. However, changing the way I talk to myself, I started to improve. Mentally and spiritually, I got better. Attitude is everything. I changed for the first time ever, a noticeable positive change. How great is that? So make sure that you are online encouraging one another. Share with us how God has helped you through a major battle in your life.
We may have lost our house, but we didn't lose everything. We didn't lose our family members. We didn't lose each other.
I saw the tornado. We were watching it on TV. I was at my mom and dad's with our daughters. Just like all these other houses, we had piles of rubble. It's gone. It's gone. I didn't even care to stop and look. It was really the next day before I surveyed my own damage.
As a pastor, you know, one of the first things you want to be able to do is help, you know, your community. You want to be able to help the people in your church. We have a couple who has been a part of our church for several years now, and they were really ingrained into our congregation and about ready to retire from the military, was going to retire here, and they told him, said, no, you got one more tour to do.
My husband was not here and didn't know if the Marine Corps was going to be able to send him, and I was just so stressed out about what were we going to do. Like, our whole life plan has just changed.
She's just distraught. So her husband gets on a plane that's to fly 48 hours to get back over here and not knowing what they're going to do, okay? And we were trying to figure out how we were going to help them clean this up and haul everything away. And then right in the middle of trying to figure that out, we get the call that we're going to be able to get those funds. And I'm sorry. They mean a lot to me. And for me to be able to tell them, I got this. I'm going to clean this up for you. It's not going to cost you a dime. It just means the world to me.
It's just a blessing for you guys to help us do that and to step in. There's never, ever going to be enough words to say thank you. You know, the most important thing is that we have our family. All this stuff, it's going to be. But we're so thankful.
And this morning, we just got through hauling off their last load. We were able to get some trucks and some dump trucks in there and haul it all off, and it's taken care of, and we got a team of volunteers over there raking it up.
It's a blessing that, you know, God has you guys here, the Joyce Meyer Ministry and Hand of Hope, Convoy of Hope, all of these Christian ministries that are here just loving on people, and a difference gets made in our lives just because you love us, because God has sent you here. It shows God's love for us.
You mean more to us at Joyce Meyer Ministries than you may ever know. We appreciate you, and we thank our friends and partners for making this worldwide ministry possible. Together, we're feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, and presenting the gospel to the nations. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org today to share your prayer requests, find out more about our resources, see Joyce's conference schedule, and to join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.